Hey everybody, welcome to a new show, podcast, whatever you want to call it. It's presented by Speak Your Piece. It's called Mother Puckers, featuring Kiefer Nata.
Hello guys.
And Big E. We're here to discuss hockey. This is going to be a new show that we got going on because I got the new football show up. If you haven't already seen that, the Jumbo Package Football Show. An added benefit might be that your package might get jumbo if you listen to that football show.
Yeah, studies show that there's been an increase in jumbo packages. So, yeah, give it a listen.
Also, you should be listening to the Speak Your Piece podcast with myself and Ravishir Dhaliwal. But today we're discussing hockey, purely hockey. Just, you know, sort of a soft episode to get you.
Inaugural.
Yeah, kind of like the first podcast I did. I can't even remember what we called it. It called it a bunch of different names, but...
never really stuck with the name. I think it always changed.
It changed every episode, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, now that Keith is officially a host and not a guest on this podcast, his guest total is still the same at 2, just slightly ahead of Jazz Joe with 1.5.
Alright, she did... Oh, no, I'm thinking...
It's a long story about the 1.5. Anyway, so we're here to talk about hockey. We're going to do some... We'll do some quick questions. We'll each give sort of a analysis report. We'll see how this goes. Maybe it's going to be horrible the first time. Who knows? We're here to get better. Improvement. Progress. On our grind.
No, everything we post out is the perfect pinnacle. There's no mistakes. Never made a mistake.
We're Barstool, but better.
Yeah, a little bit.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Barstool is copying us. They're trying to speak their piece.
I don't want people to like also call me like I'm like Portnoy, but like a nice dude. Portnoy's a bit of a dick.
Well, see it as you may.
Alright, so let's talk hockey. Best team who's your best team in the NHL right now? Who do you think is?
I would give it to Tampa Bay.
They had a nice win last night over Vancouver.
Over my Vancouver, but those additions that they made last year, JT Miller and Ryan McDonough, and just the way that they're set up now, it's like they have way too much depth that I think to not do any damage the next postseason. So I feel like, I'd say Tampa Bay is my number one right now.
I was thinking about, Nashville, I was going to say, has been doing really well for a while.
Nashville has been playing well, though, yeah.
But it's Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is probably the best team. It's interesting, though, without having Yzerman as the GM now to make decisions and make personnel choices. The Lightning, I think, are probably the best team in their division.
Oh, definitely.
They have two really good goalies. Even they had Ben Bishop and Vasilevskiy, and now it's like by Bishop and Louis Domingue has done a pretty good job.
Yeah, when Vasi went down.
Yeah, when called upon. Mm-hmm. So I'd say probably the Lightning. Worst team in the league.
Probably give it to L.A. Just with how they're playing right now, and just
it's funny you mentioned that with the Drew Doughty situation that you have in your fantasy.
Drew Doughty isn't a bad player. It's just he plays on a bad team. So if being offered Drew Doughty, it shouldn't be like a curse. He's a good player on a bad team, putting up decent totals as well. And it's just.
I don't think the Kings are any better with Desjardins.
No, honestly, like, Desjardins, he's a quick fix. He's not going to.
No, but he was not even that good when he coached Vancouver. And the Kings are like really old.
Kings are way too old. Like, that's why they're in the position that they are in right now.
It sucks, but I could make an argument Philadelphia, I guess, or Florida.
Florida's been, I felt like they've been doing a lot better.
They've been picking up.
Yeah, like definitely at the beginning of the season, they weren't looking too good. And then even though Philadelphia just fired their previous head coach, but
my boy Carter Hart.
Carter Hart gets a start, gets a win,
and former Everett Silvertip Radko Gudas
got Radko Gudas.
Radko Gudas. So it's a good Radko Gudas got like his first, like he averages like a goal every 2 years, I think, and he put one up last night against my Detroit Red Wings.
So it's a sign of, for good things to come in Philadelphia, but in Philadelphia though you do have Giroux. He's playing Voracek. Pretty well. Voracek's playing pretty decently, but no, I wouldn't say that Philadelphia is the worst. I think LA, in my opinion, would be.
If you take McDavid off Edmonton, they're like easily the worst team.
Oh yeah,
like
Draisaitl alone can't carry that.
No,
or Nugent Hopkins. But yeah, just without McDavid, that franchise was going nowhere.
Okay, this might be a hot take. I don't think Cam Talbot is that great of a goalie. He had one good year, but there, like, the problem I think with also like speak on Edmonton, their whole problem is lack of defense and lack of real starting goalie, but. I don't think Talbot is, like, the solution.
Talbot, yeah, they bought into his good season when they got him. But if you look at, like, how he is now, like, his, like, stat lines since then, I'd see him more as, like, he's a good goalie, not a great goalie.
Yeah.
I'd say more, like, I wouldn't say, like, he's just a backup goalie, but, like, a goalie that maybe like 40-ish games, like an even split maybe, but like I wouldn't consider Cam Talbot the one to be like, we need to, like, he needs to stand on his head. Yeah, like, no, like I don't think he's that good.
No, I don't think so either. So we talked about the best teams, worst team. Which team has impressed you the most through the first couple months here in the season? I'll say with mine, I'm gonna go with the Buffalo Sabres.
Buffalo has been turning up, and it's very surprising, actually. Yeah, I was just thinking Buffalo.
I'm thinking Buffalo is probably the most has had the most intriguing turnaround, or the most, you know, impressive team so far. I mean, obviously Tampa is, you know, the top team, and they're doing great.
Yeah.
But I would say that Buffalo has had the most impressive season after their turnaround last year. Got rid of Ryan O'Reilly. Jack Eichel is just a stud. I think I compared him in one of my posts the other week to like the Chad at the party who tries and hits on all the girls at that party.
And comes away with all of them. And comes the way that he's playing, he can do that to anyone.
He's a stud. Fuck.
Bad haircut though, I'm gonna say. Ooh. Sorry, Jack.
Ooh.
I'm not a fan. To be honest,
can we call guys friends of the pods even though we've never met them and they've never been on? You know, this is the first episode, but they're still like. Because I think Jack Eichel's a cool dude. I think
he's a cool dude.
I think he's a friend of the pod. If Jack Eichel, if you want to come hang out with us,
yeah. I just think maybe you should change up the do a little bit.
What's wrong? What he needs to grow it out a bit more.
No, it's just the couple pictures I've seen him in. It's just that afro that he has, kind of. I think you need to shape that up a little bit, sir. But a team that I'd say, like, surprising turnaround.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd say, honestly, either the Canadiens or the Senators. Granted, they're not doing that well. Or, like, in, like, terms of, like, the playoff race, maybe, like, mid-pack to currently
out. I was going to say, I think Ottawa's just slightly outside of a playoff.
Yeah, but you have the resurgence of, like, or not resurgence, like, the coming out party of Thomas Chabot, and like how they're playing.
I'll say Montreal. I was not expecting Max Domi to have
the season that he's having.
Yeah, right now. Max Domi is a surprise.
Drew Wynn's actually been playing very well as well.
He's been doing well, which is
Kotkaniemi.
I'm gonna get that name right. I'm sorry, Jesperi. Kotkaniemi has, as a rookie. Like, he's 19 years old.
Yeah.
And he's, like, top six forward on that team.
Yeah, and he's playing like he's also earned it, too. Like, I mean, coming into the draft, me included, I was pretty shocked seeing him get taken third like that.
I didn't think he was going top 10.
I Oh, interesting, actually.
Yeah. I don't remember putting him in the top 10. Like, I know he's a centerman. Mm-hmm. And that Montreal, like, needs centerman, but I don't remember putting him in the top 10. I was leaning heavy with my boy Noah Dobson.
Interesting. And at three.
Not at three. No. I think I had Dobson maybe going to Arizona.
Oh, okay.
But I can't remember. I think probably like Zadina I thought was going to go to Montreal.
Yeah.
And
just quick side note, the way Zadina fell and now playing in like for Detroit, I think that's going to be like a big time move that like we're all just going to look at it and like, what the heck?
Speak Your Piece will be at the Langley Event Center on Saturday night catching the USA Czech Republic P tournament game with Pavel Zadina, Philip Zadina. Philip Zadina, as a Red Wings fan, that's a huge mistake. Philip Zadina, he'll be there. The Hughes brothers will be there. Your boys.
Yeah.
And
Jack, come home. We're waiting for you.
Vancouver's not really home.
Well, you know what? Quinn's there. Just make it home. Luke, the younger brother, had his little interview, from what I remember, when they're interviewing Quinn. We're waiting for you as well. So just let's bring in all the Hughes. Come on. So,
do you think Quinn did not expect Vancouver to do well? Do you think Quinn like did not expect the Canucks to do well this year, and that's why he's not playing for Vancouver?
I wouldn't blame him, honestly. And
I thought that, like, I thought for a stretch there that he made a mistake.
Not playing for
Vancouver, because they were doing pretty well, like for a while there, and now they're still doing well, but they're not like.
Well, they kind of.
They were like number two or number one, I think.
At one point, yeah, they were about like I think at one point they actually were first in the Pacific.
Yeah.
But recently, when they went that big losing skid, so you can kind of see like it's still kind of rough around the edges with how they're playing. But I mean, I think it's like it would have been nice to see him, but I'm okay with him choosing to stay back. I just think maybe like even though like he's like a smaller defenseman, but like obviously that's not his game to go.
Well, if you look at all defensemen from that class last year, they're all
not that big.
No, like I mean, like 5'11 and 170. Like even Dobson was like 6'1 or 6'2.
I think Dahlin. It's either Dahlin or. Well, maybe even Bouchard, they're like the biggest guys. But they're only coming in at like 6'3".
Yeah, I think it was like Bouchard. Dahlin. I think it was Dahlin who was like 6'3" and actually like a decent size height.
Yeah.
And instead of like 5'11 and 175, because you know as a defenseman they're gonna get smacked in the corners.
Yeah.
As a first year defenseman, and the Canucks aren't planning on winning now anyways, so it's not. Yeah.
But, I was thinking maybe just for Quinn to maybe mature just a little bit physically. So, I didn't have a problem with him choosing to stay back. But, I mean, I could see him, like, with the way that the Canucks' defense is set up. I mean, it would be nice to have that, like, addition. But, I mean, for the longevity of Quinn Hughes' career, it'd probably be better that he did this as opposed to jumping in right now.
And it's not like Vancouver's wanting to, like, they're not planning on winning right now.
No.
I didn't think so. Like, this wasn't a year where they were expecting to make the playoffs.
No. I didn't think so either. But the additions of, like, Roussel and
Beagle.
Tim Schaller, I found those kind of weird. I mean, they're good bottom filler players. I just thought that.
You don't give those guys 4-year deals.
Yeah.
You don't get in what, 12, what was it, $12 million? They like $3 million
to Beagle, I believe, or something.
I thought Beagle and Roussel got the same contract, but maybe I'm wrong.
I don't remember, but I know Tim Schaller got like 2 years at 3.7.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking like, I mean, okay. Apparently he's a good penalty killer from in his days in Boston, and also like
from
12 to 15 goal getter. And then you look at the lineup now, like he hasn't been in there for like a while, so it's just like, what does that signing mean now? Just like, maybe we waive him. I don't know, but.
Oh, well, it's just stupid because you don't give, well, Beagle and Rosell, you don't give those kind of guys 4-year deals.
Yeah.
And, like, in 4 years' time, when your entry level contracts are up for your guys like Elias, mm-hmm. and Bezer, and Horvat, and Ole Yolevi, and Quinn Hughes, and all of those guys.
That future sounds so bright.
And I'm well, so it's like, and you have like all, like you have all of those guys. Like it's the same problem that Toronto is mm-hmm. going through, sort of. But like you sign all those guys to like you sign like Beagle and Rosell. Don't quote me on this. I don't know for sure, but I think it's like $24 million like combined over 4 years, right? Jeez. And it's like that's good money that can go to paying like Elias, Bezer, Horvat, yeah. Yolevi, Hughes.
Yeah.
But... Thatcher Demko if he ever can come up. Yeah. Because the Canucks, that's their weakest spot right now is goaltending.
Yeah, just, I've had too many gripes with the goaltending, but.
That is so, like, they would easily be a playoff team if they had goaltending.
If they... I don't know. I've talked about this too many times. It's just
I don't mind Markstrom, but he's not like
they're both backup goalies at best. It's just that the way that the depth chart is set up is that they don't have anyone to come in now, so it's taking two backup goalies and
maybe what you need to do is trade a first rounder for Jimmy Howard.
apparently so. Yeah, Red Wings, whatever you're on, I want to be on that stuff. Link me.
You don't want to be on that stuff if you're a Red Wings.
First for Jimmy Howard. Okay, sir.
Oh, God. And 3 years for Jonathan Bernier.
Oh, God. There's some solid tandems in the league right now. Just like that. Markstrom, Nielsen, Howard, Bernier. Lethal. Way too good.
God, it's frustrating. It is actually horrible. The thing I hate about my Red Wings, at least with being a Canucks fan, you have a future.
Oh, you think it's just, this is it? They're done? Like
no,
Detroit?
What? No, it's like you're stuck in the middle.
Like oh, that is very true, actually.
Like you're not, like, Detroit's, like, stuck in the middle where it's, like, Zetterberg retired because he hurt himself, right? But, like, you signed Jonathan Bernier to a 3-year deal, but you also got Philip Zadina, like, waiting in the wings. And you got Dennis Shalovsky.
Penticton V's, I believe. Dennis Chilowski.
I don't think he was Penticton. I think it was Chilliwack.
Was he Chilliwack?
Maybe.
I know he's a BCHL boy.
Tyson Jost was a former...
I might be having...
That's who I know is a former Penticton V. But... Chilowski. But... No, it's just like Chilliwack Chiefs.
Chilowski.
But... It's like... the Red Wings are stuck in the middle where they have prospects that are going to be, you know, fairly decent in the future. Yeah. They have guys who are playing to win now, like Ablicator and Erickson. And some of those guys are a bit...
They're kind of role players.
They can probably go. I mean, I like them, but it's like, in reality...
Isn't that Ablicator? Yeah. Isn't his deal just stupid as well?
If you look at
it's all... It's like 5 or 6 years at like four.
Yeah, if you look at all those stupid... Like, Franz Nielsen, I don't know what his contract is, but it's stupid. Ablicator's contract is stupid. I want to say somebody else's contract is, like, stupid. But it's, like, elite, like being a Canucks fan, you have a future. You know you're going to be good in 5 years.
Yep.
As a Red Wings fan, I don't know if I'm going to be good in 5 years. Because, like, Kenny Holland is, like, stuck right in the middle. part of it is losing Mike Ilitch as the owner. That was a big, because at least big Ilitch, blow, yeah. Well, it's like Ilitch actually knew about like how to run a hockey team, and I don't think his family doesn't know how to run a hockey team, or doesn't, they just expect to win now, and it's like, well, here's the best I got trying to run a hockey team for Holland. But anyway, so yeah, that's about what's going on with Vancouver and Detroit. Yeah. Who is your MVP so far this year? McDavid?
No, honestly, I was thinking Mikko Rantanen.
Really?
Have you seen
that? That's, I think, a bit of a hot take.
Him, that top line of MacKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen has not been figured out by the league, honestly. And Rantanen, I believe he's around 50-ish, 57-ish, I think, points. Somewhere around there.
Yeah, no, those guys are doing, like, really good.
He got some more points tonight. As of the 19th of December.
Yeah, when we were filming this. They beat Montreal tonight. Yeah, Montreal.
I believe it's Montreal, yeah.
There's only two games tonight, which blows, but...
Yeah. And not high-scoring games either. Both 2-1
Yeah, but games. Most games aren't high-scoring.
According to you. Actually, well...
They don't have it. Okay, I'm going to talk... I'll talk about this later. I don't feel like talking about it now. But, well, my other post today... I talked about like how the NHL needs to change their all-star game for like format, where I like the 3-on-3, but they need to do like a fantasy draft to go with it.
Oh, that'd be cool, actually. Yeah,
but the NHL is like, oh, you know, we might lose money with that. We were doing really well now, we don't want to take chances. Yeah, screw you, Bettman. Rantanen, trying to think who my MVP would be right now.
Rantanen to me is like that good hybrid player, can score and can pass. But I guess with him playing with MacKinnon right now, he's more of like that playmaker kind of guy. But you can see that, like, yeah, he has the ability to score when he wants.
It's not William Nylander is my MVP right now.
It's Nick's MVP right now.
God. I was thinking McDavid. McDavid might be my
MVP. Like, that's fair, though. Like, but I wouldn't be surprised. Like, McDavid
is, I see what
he's going to be MVP for years to come.
Well, it's like LeBron. Like, he's literally... The Edmonton Oilers are literally the Cleveland Cavaliers of basketball. And Connor McDavid is the LeBron James.
Interesting.
If Connor McDavid... wasn't such a nice guy and such a Canadian, he could use his leverage and get out of Edmonton anytime he wants.
Very true.
Like, he does not have to...
Play there.
It's only because he's drafted, and he probably likes playing in Edmonton because he doesn't get as much media attention as, like, Tavares or Matthews would in...
Toronto. But
there's an argument to be said for Austin Matthews, I think, for MVP.
Yeah.
There's an argument for it. I'm not saying that it's completely true.
He had that injury earlier back. But, no, him, honestly, even John Tavares.
You want to hear one of my conspiracy theories?
Go ahead.
I believe that the team, because Matthews and Marner are going to be restricted free agents this year, and we've already gone through a debacle with William Nylander. You know where I could see Austin Matthews playing next year?
Where?
The New York Islanders.
Okay. Very interesting.
I just blew your mind, didn't I? Like, with that.
That is a very...
My theory.
That's a very interesting thought.
And potentially Marner too. But I see the Islanders going after Matthews more. Okay. My reason behind it is because I'm assuming the Leafs should be able to get these, like, their deals done.
Yeah.
If Kyle Dubas is as cool and as awesome as a GM as everyone's making him out to be, he'll get the deal done. But as we've seen, he struggled with Nylander.
Yeah.
So, the Islanders just lost Tavares. They have a bunch of cap space coming up this next year. They have a very respectable head coach, Barry Trotz, and they have a very respectable GM, Lou Lamoriello, who was just previously
with Matthews,
with drafted, I believe, Matthews and Marner in Toronto. The Islanders are also going to be getting a brand new arena coming up here in the next 3 or 4 years, I think. I think if you might be able to convince Matthews to go and play, you know, be the star in New York, you know, potentially. I know he's already, you know, considered a star in Toronto. But if you wanted to go be a star in New York with the Islanders under Barry Trotz and Lou Lamoriello in a brand new arena,
why not?
And he could probably make more money. I would think that the Islanders are more than willing to throw more cash at him than the Leafs are.
Interesting. That's a very interesting thought.
It's a deep conspiracy theory that I constructed myself, and nobody else is talking about it. But it's just like it's a dark horse team. You have to think of it that's lying in, you know, in the wings.
That's very
the shrubs.
That's actually. I don't even know what to say. Just thinking of it, like, that is so. Oh man. Yeah, that actually just blew my mind a little bit. Very interesting.
This is the kind of stuff that we like to give our listeners on the first episode. Conspiracy theories with no rumors to it or any.
Just saying things.
Just saying things. My MVP is probably Matt McDavid.
Yeah, that's right, fair. I mean, he's also up there in points right now. But I don't know. I just think it's also like it's
almost tough. Like you want to give the MVP to a person that's on like a winning team.
Yeah.
Or that's like a team that's doing really well, and Edmonton is not doing very well.
I just think it's also like it's almost like with the amount of teams that have won the Stanley Cup recently, and also in a way like other sports like basketball, you just see the same people win all the time. It's just you want to see that new person win. I would totally be okay with Mikko Rantanen winning.
Oh, I think he's deserving as well.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he doesn't deserve it. I just say, like, if I had to give a vote, I'd probably give it to
McDavid.
Yeah. We'll do a bit of a World Juniors sort of preview.
That's actually something I wanted to talk about coming up.
Yeah, go for it.
So, with the news that, well, first, with the injuries, with Fermentin being out, uncertainty around Anderson Dolan and Vilardi, and then just hearing that Vilardi does not get to play, but Team Canada already had a player already chosen to sit out if Vilardi could play, and that was Lafreniere. And to me, I found that very weird.
Is that what the story was?
Yeah.
I was told, from what I heard, that Lafreniere would just be cut. Like, if Vilardi was just ready to go.
Yeah, like, if Vilardi was ready to go,
then, like, Lafreniere is just cut and he's gone and he's going back to Rimouski.
Yeah. But to me, I found that very surprising with the hype. Maybe he just didn't have any good showings.
I was kind of surprised by that, too. I didn't touch on it on my blog today, which sucks, but I thought that Lafreniere. You and I have had these conversations before. Lafreniere is probably him and Cody Glass, I guess you can say, are the two forwards on that team with real like top six NHL potential.
Yeah.
Obviously other guys can.
Yeah, obviously push that.
Can push that. But just from what I've seen from this roster, right, like, I don't think Owen Tippett right now is a top six forward. I don't think Nick Suzuki, Morgan Frost,
Really? Morgan Frost?
I don't think he's a top six right now.
Oh, right now, yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't... Lafreniere, I think, can be that. Frost, I need to see a little bit more. But I figured... I didn't think Lafreniere would be the last guy on this
team. I didn't think so either. I thought he was a lock. I honestly thought it was maybe around Entwistle?
Mackenzie Entwistle.
Yeah, how you say his name? Or honestly, like Anderson Dolan, I guess, just like from him not playing.
I think there's been a bit of a, because he's been out for a while now. Like
I believe broke his wrist or something.
Well, right? he was supposed to play for the in the Canada Russia series, and I think he injured himself in the Canada Russia series, and then been missing time since then. So he's been hurt. Unfortunately, that's really been hurting the Spokane Chiefs. But it was kind of surprising, I thought, because I would say I've seen Lafreniere a few times. I haven't seen him, obviously, in person, but from what I've seen, as a player and his size and his body and his ability to make plays and shoot, I would have figured he would have been
a lock
to be on that team.
Yeah, and to me, I just found that very weird. And then they TSN did a segment about special teams and power plays and showing a stat that like the past couple gold medal winners were also the teams with the best power plays. And then they happened to show, I guess, the for today's game, as of the 19th, Canada versus the Swiss. They showed their power play lines, and Lafreniere wasn't on any of them. And to me, I also found that very interesting. They talked about his power play production at 21 points so far this season, and to not have him on either unit.
What's interesting, two things about that. One, special teams is super important in a tournament like this, where you remember a few years back when Canada was in Finland, I want to say maybe it was 2016 or something, and they just had a horrible, Canada was like 7th or 8th in that tournament, and it was because of their poor special teams. Like, their penalty kill was awful, their power play was, I think, even worse, and that's why they couldn't get any offense in that tournament, and they were out in the quarters, I think. The other thing about that is I'm interested in Tim Hunter, because Tim Hunter is the former NHLer who used to play for Calgary Flames, and he's the head coach for Team Canada. And he was also head coach for Team WHL at the Canada-Russia series. So he didn't partake in when it was in Quebec, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just interesting to, you know, I wonder if there's maybe a chemistry or something, in terms of, if there's some, issues between Tim Hunter and Alex Lafreniere.
Maybe.
If there's some, you know, butting heads at the moment. I could be wrong, but I look into something like that.
Yeah, I could see that. I was just thinking maybe played poorly in those exhibition games, maybe.
Against the U Sports All-Stars?
Yeah, I didn't get to watch it, so...
Yeah, they were on TSN.ca or whatever. They were streaming online.
But had no reference, but I mean, just watching his highlight reels and just all that kind of hype around him, that I kind of thought, he has to be locked, hasn't he? But I...
Well, and it's also interesting too, because I don't think Team Canada themselves really played that exceptional against the U Sports All Stars. Like, I think they lost. Like, I think they played three games, and I think they might have lost two of them.
Yeah.
And it's weird because obviously, you know, you're not locked, you know, it's obviously not supposed to be a lock to beat them, But there is sort of an expectation to beat those guys, and when you don't, it's kind of disappointing. And then you lose to them again, and it's like, well, you know, you start maybe start questioning yourself a little bit. Maybe you start asking more questions about yourself and who you are as a team and who you are as a player. I think this Canada team, I don't think it's one of their better teams, but I think it's still a good team. I think it could win a gold medal.
Yeah. I don't know. Just to me this year, it's that they do seem good. Obviously, I think everyone can see it's not the best team that Canada's put out before.
No.
I think, to be honest, I believe it was 2015. That team was very good. McDavid. The team with Virtanen, but not the one where Virtanen cost Canada, like, everything.
Yeah, no, that was the one in Finland, wasn't it? When he was playing poorly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? That was a absolutely stacked team, if you really think about it. But, this year, I think... This year, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't win. But, like, I could also be like, yeah, they won. That's cool. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't.
You know who I... You know what the position to watch for Team Canada this year is the goalies.
Yeah.
They're I think, the position that's not getting enough conversation with Michael DiPietro and Ian Scott. Because Ian Scott has been the best goalie in the WHL this year, and he's going to go as the backup.
Yeah.
I like having him there as a... sort of a fallback option, but
more like a 1A 1B.
Yeah, kind of, and like in case, like, break glass in case, like, he's there, he will help the, you know, situation. That's what I like about Team Canada. I said this earlier today. I would say that the three best teams at this tournament are going to be Sweden, Russia, Sweden, U.S. and Canada. I think the U.S. doesn't have as good a goalies in this tournament. I like Canada's goalies more than U.S. I like Sweden's goalies more than U.S. But the U.S. has a really good, like, they have quite a few returning guys, which I really like, and just good all around prospects.
I think that's what lets down Canada, in my opinion, or one of the things. I just, I don't know, I just feel
there's
like...
There's a lot of defensemen that are new. Like Dobbs, yeah. like Dobson and Bouchard.
Completely new.
They're great defensemen.
But they don't have that, like, kind of like that caliber to them.
No.
And I just think, like, the lack of these returning players, like, only Comtois, the only returning player at all. I think that's what's also going to let them down in the long run, just kind of not having those players that know what it's like to be there, to be at the top, or, like, you know, I don't know. That's why I'm not too excited, or not to say, like, not excited, but to, like, I'm not expecting much. I'm still expecting, like,
they should get out of the group
and put up, like, a decent run to gold. But, I mean, if they don't win gold, I'm not, like...
We should go watch a couple of the group stage games here in Vancouver. It's only, like, $20 a ticket.
Interesting, yeah.
Go spend a day watching games. All right. Again, just a reminder to everybody, Speak Your Peace will be at the Langley Event Center this Saturday night. Saturday the 22nd, I believe it is, when Team USA takes on Team Czech Republic in a pre-tournament game. Also, make sure you're following the brand on Instagram at Speak Your Peace. Speak You Are Peace. I always like to throw that in there just as a reminder. You're not going to find it with the Y-O-U-R. You're going to use U-R. Same thing with Facebook. Make sure you're checking out the Speak Your Peace podcast and the Jumbo Package Football Show. There we go. I'm still getting used to it. Thanks again, everybody. We're signing off. We'll have another episode for you out when we feel like it, I think.
Yeah, we'll kind of test the waters.
We're gonna we'll do some more junior stock because it's World Junior season. So maybe we'll do a New Year's Day pod too. We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. All right. Thanks, everyone.